This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Sir Owen.
Thank you, Neil, and thank you, David.
Well, you didn't expect anything different from David, did you?
Oh, I love it when he puts me down.
Now, you wouldn't keep coming back otherwise.
Exactly. And he knows I don't mean it. I only pick on people I like. And it's true. It's true. So last night we saw each other. We bumped into each other at the theatre.
We had a fabulous night at the opening night of the Melbourne season of Jersey Boys playing at the Regent Theatre on Collins Street.
Third time back?
Yes, third time round. So, look, it's a very talented company this time. Ryan Gonzalez in the lovely role of Frankie Valli.
Yep.
So, brilliant performance by him.
But all of them are good.
All the boys in it.
And I love the way that, you know, like for anyone that doesn't know what Jersey Boys is about, Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons is what it's about. Really interesting story in the respect that they were... do you know the story, Neil?
I do know the story. I haven't actually seen the show.
Right.
I have heard of it.
Because, you know, like one of them in particular was a bit of a thug, a small-time thug, and ended up getting himself into so much trouble over the years, in and out of jail a bit and whatever. But through it all, this band, you know, like sort of, you know, beyond their wildest dreams, and had hit after hit after hit because of one songwriter that
one
came
songwriter
in.
Who was Bob Guidio.
Yeah.
Look, how many bands around the world
hits.
Have had that many hits over, what, a 4 or 5 decade?
Yep.
And, you know, Frankie Valli's still out there performing
and
somewhere.
That voice, and extraordinary voice, and which was sung beautifully last night by, you know, like the local lad.
That's right, Ryan.
Yep.
So, look, which is a true find. We've seen Ryan here in Melbourne before in other productions such as Strictly Ballroom and Kinky Boots, but this is the chance for him to actually step up and take on one of the leading roles.
Yep. But it's such a slick production and, like, so moving so fast.
Oh, it does.
Doesn't it?
It does.
You know, they're changing sets, and all it is tables and chairs or a bed they'll wheel in. And the way they use the band as well as another prop in a way.
Yeah, look, I always found that even the last few productions of it was the way the band glides in on one of those little air, sort of like a, one of those, what do you call it?
Hovercraft. Yep.
And, you know, the drummer sort of turns around on stage. And
The drummer's there pretty much the whole time.
Thing,
the rest
yeah.
of the band disappears. Well, they need the space. But it's a big stage anyway.
That's right.
Costumes are great. And visually, you know, like they use screens
a lot. And all that as well.
Which is, and there's one, Neil, there's this one really clever part, and they do it twice, when they're doing a Bandstand and when they're doing Ed Sullivan Show, where they've actually got cameras on the side. You know, you see them and it's all part of the props. And there's a screen up the top and you're seeing them
performing live on the screen.
Oh, okay.
And so it's like being on television. And they've virtually got their back to the audience per se or off to one side from the audience. Really clever the way they do it.
And then cut with footage from the studio of the crowd and seeing the dance moves the crowds were doing.
Yeah.
Look, it was a terrific night there.
Yeah.
So,
And it sounds good. I mean, like if it's been on a couple of times already, then you want that little bit of difference and variety.
It's the same show.
No, but just even the production.
It's slick as ever. It's not tired.
All right.
It's really slick. So really worthwhile checking out if you're a fan of Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
Look, the music is so infectious.
It's almost like at times it's like a concert, and they bow and a couple of times in the first act they got people down the front.
Front was standing ovation.
Standing ovation.
which is very rare in Melbourne.
Yeah, it is.
It takes a lot for to get a standing ovation in Melbourne.
So a good show.
It was a great night out. Entertainment plus.
Now, last Sunday we had somebody, you know, like an artist on from an exhibition that opened at the NGV this week, and you were there. Who was it?
Look, on Thursday evening, the National Gallery of Victoria at Federation Square at the Ian Potter Centre opened Darren Sylvester's exhibition. Darren, who is a Melbourne born and bred artist.
No, he's not.
Oh, well, that's what they kept telling us the other night.
He's not, is he?
That's right. Because he was on last week. He's done most of his work here.
And his parents have moved here as well, but he's actually Queensland.
I'll have to say something to the NGV about that.
Well, no, we had it direct from the horse's mouth last week.
There you go.
He did a lot of his studies and worked here, but remember his dad was a banker.
Yeah, and they travelled around a lot. And he teaches at the art school here as
That's
well.
That's right, yes.
He very much is a bit of a Melbourne institution. But this exhibition, and what he does, what he was telling us last week, he sets up all the photos. They're not taken, you know, like out and about or portraits. They're actually set up photos.
They're all staged.
Yeah.
And it's very clever about, you know, the relationship of consumerism and... Not going to give too much away because I think people should go see it, but there's some Chez Longes, which have reference to a very well-known
fruit
burger establishment. People will recognise the style of being the packaging from, you know, the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember the packaging and the colorations and all that sort of stuff. But then, you know, the relationship of, you know, teenagers staged up with, you know, them consuming all this junk food.
Yep.
But then the flip side to that is you've got, you know, people such as doctors in an operating theater.
That's right.
And just this, the look on their face, just mesmerised by it. But there's one highlight for me, and it was displayed a couple of years ago at the NGV, where he's taken like a compact, a woman's compact.
Makeup.
Mm.
Yep.
And it's turned it into a big dance floor. So the whole room is completely mirrored,
right,
the dance floor, and there's music playing in there. And it was great the other night because, you know, the NGV do their opening as well, that everybody had been sipping on watermelon-based cocktails, all finished up dancing in this this room. So it was, and everyone was having so much fun, but and sort of just in the middle
of
the space, and all these oversized photos are displayed. So look, highly recommended to people to go down.
And it's free.
And it's free too.
Yep. So
it's on for quite a while too, if I remember correctly.
For 3 or 4 months
or something. Exactly. You should go out there to get a chance.
Yep.
And what's his name again?
Darren Sylvester.
Yep. So keep an eye. And by all accounts, did you see the catalogue there?
I haven't seen the catalogue, but I do.
He was very impressed. And they're actually using it as their showpiece for their book a week as well.
Coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, NGV have got a couple of terrific exhibitions coming up. On Friday, they launched the Christina Campbell Pretty gift, which she's donated a whole collection.
Over $2 million now, French couture.
And over, like, some of the outfits date back a couple of hundred years.
Yes.
And they're from the major houses. So, you know, Chanel. And there is a little black dress in there.
Okay.
So one of a few. But having a look at some of the imagery of the exhibition, and it's actually situated in some of the halls of the NGV.
Yeah, so the paintings are on the wall. Yeah,
it's not a standalone exhibition. So the curators have been very clever identifying key works and positioning these costumes up against these key works in various sections of the St Kilda Road establishment.
It sounds fantastic. I was lucky enough to be at the when they spoke about it 3 years ago, that she had donated this collection in honour of her husband, and who's now passed on, and you know, like, just the pieces that time were amazing, but I can't wait to see the full exhibition.
Oh, look, they're absolutely stunning.
Yep, brilliant.
And anyone who is into couture,
yep,
I think is going to be really amazed. Mm.
And yeah, as you said, you know, like from a few hundred years.
And of course, again, that exhibition is free,
yeah,
as well. So
good old
we have this embarrassment of riches
yes,
of being able to go into our collecting institutions
yeah,
and seeing these yeah, works mm, for free. One exciting thing this week, Elijah Mazinski, who's a very well-known opera director,
mm-hmm,
spent many, many years here in Melbourne. He's now based in London, does a lot of work for Opera Australia, has been awarded the Opera Australia Trophy.
Oh, lovely.
We're going to be seeing one of Elijah's works here in Rigoletto in a couple of months' time, which opens the opera season, the traditional opera season mm-hmm, in Melbourne,
yep,
though we do have West Side Story opening before that.
Yep.
But his production of Werther, which is also a stunning production, is currently playing in Sydney.
Yeah.
The Opera Trophy is not given out lightly. Mm. People who have won it before have sort of been like Dane Joan Sutherland.
Oh, yeah, I think I've heard that name.
Yes.
I think I might
a few times probably,
one,
yes. Mm.
But yeah, Elijah has an extensive
lovely,
canon
oh,
of work.
Excellent.
And especially the commitment to the development of opera.
Yeah. Now, I read in today's paper, and then I was speaking to a friend in Adelaide as well, talking about opera, that the Arts Festival has opened in Adelaide. They always open with a bit of a blockbuster, and it's a Magic Flute.
Yes.
And the friend that went last night said it's astounding, absolutely astounding.
It's an absolutely stunning Magic Flute, and Barry Kosky, who
yes,
is very well known to the mm, enfant terrible of the performing arts, who we don't see much in Melbourne these days, which I think is such a shame
mm,
because he did leave a very creative legacy of his past works.
Yeah, because he ran the festival, didn't he?
For a bit, yes.
Yeah.
And well, he also ran the Adelaide Festival too. Mm. And I think some of the...
Didn't he get kicked out or something? Wasn't there some sort of gossip and now, you know, he's back?
Oh, no, there was another very well-known international director who...
Right. Oh, it wasn't him. I thought it was him. Right.
But, some of the highlights of festivals over the years have been the creation of Barry Kosky.
Mm.
And, look, I think his Nabucco still stands out today
yep,
as one of the operatic highlights
yep,
for me. People hate it, but Melbourne audiences loved it, but Sydney just booed him to Gloria, but that's Sydney.
Yeah.
They'll boo anything.
any Sydney people listening, we apologise.
They're all busy after
yeah,
Mardi Gras.
Yeah, they're all asleep in Sydney yeah, today.
Exactly. Kylie was there.
Kylie was there.
At the parade. Oh, my gosh.
So
that's one of distracting David. Okay.
But congratulations to Elijah Mazinski.
Yep.
And if you do want to see a terrific opera, Rigoletto, which has had outings here in Melbourne before, is an outstanding production, which
right,
I'm really, really looking forward to.
Excellent. Rowan, thank you so much for coming in and filling us in on the gossip of in the art world this week.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
And we'll see you soon.
See me soon.
Right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much, Rowan. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.